Arkansas. A lot of truth there. One of the things, we all going to meet Jesus face to face, yes ma'am.
Maybe not here, but we're meeting after all the last year. We're okay. I don't think we have anyone under five.
All right, do we have anybody here under five, or do they act like they're under five? Hey, you know, this is a good day. You got some pretty good-looking men around you here. You know that?
Yes.
I mean, Calvin's the prettiest, but I mean, you
got some...
to be alive at the time.
up with the Spirit, and it's going to be a new body. I go over this every week because I get questions about this. Believe me, I want to make sure it's drilled into your head. All of you are going to get a new body. Do you want a new body?
Amen.
Thank God. Brad and I were talking. We're both 60, man. I need something. I need a new body. Everything I got. And nothing works no more. It's just amazing. So I want a new body, and I'm going to get it. And it's coming. But until then, I got to continue to live for the Lord as best I can. Now, after the rapture of the church, 7 years, he's going to be handing out these rewards. We call them crowns. Everybody gets one. No one is going to heaven without at least one crown, but there's up to 5 you can get, maybe even more than that. And we get these crowns so that we can turn around and lay them back at the feet of Jesus. Now, at the end of that 7 years, there's going to be a lot going on down here on this world. Believe me, you don't want to be down here. You don't want nothing to do with this tribulation. It's called tribulation down here because there's going to be a lot of tribulation going on down here. God's saying the things are going to take this place over. And he thinks he's got the gall of things. He's actually going to beat Jesus. He's going to ruin people's lives. He's going to kill people. And either you're going to take his mark of the beast or you're going to die. And there will be some that will survive. And we've talked about this. But for the majority, people are going to die because that's the only way. If you're saved, you won't take the mark of the beast. And if that's the case, you might go get your head cut off or your head blown off or something because of your faith. Now again, there will be some people that will survive that. We'll talk about that here again in a minute. Now, he comes back. We call it the Battle of Armageddon. Now it's a battle, but it really is no battle. And he's going to bring an army with him. Who's that army? Us! We're the army! And we're coming back on white horses! I'm telling you, they're even going to make a horse big enough for Carl. They're going to make a horse big enough for me.
His new
body,
130, baby.
That's right. That's right. Carl said, that wasn't funny. You wouldn't think funny if I did want to, Carl. That wasn't funny. That's right. Now, we're all going to come back. When we come back, he's going to defeat Satan in this battle of Armageddon. Now, we're his army. He don't need us. We're just going to sit and watch this happen. And let me tell you something. It's going to be a joy to see Satan get his butt kicked. Don't you like it when you go to a ball game and your team's winning? Don't you like that? I'm not starting anything here, so don't get ahead of me. But I'm just saying, you like it when your team's winning. We're going to be the cheerleaders. We're going to, oh, get him, Jesus. Get him. Kick him. Hit him in the head, do whatever. And Jesus is going to stomp Satan in the ground and his army. Now, yeah. Now, he's going to clean this place up. And we're coming back with him. Now, this next phase is called the thousand-year. Why? That's where we get to the question of the day. Why? Simply because he's promised to you and I. He says, my reward is with me. And I'm going to render to each man according to how he works here while he's alive. The more I come to church, the more that I live for the Lord, the more that I talk about Jesus, the more faith that I grow in, and the better Christian I become, the better the seat I'm going to have during this 1,000 years. I'm going to be given responsibility to look over what's going on during this 1,000 years. But I need to really make sure you understand what this population is going to be like. Now, I'm going to take you with this slowly but surely. You ready to take the journey? Because there's going to be a population here. You ready to say amen?
Amen.
Believe me, I get it. My email rings off the wall when I talk about this, but this is the truth. There are going to be some people that are actually going to survive the battle of Armageddon that are Christian people. But they're not going, since they're not going to die, the spirit's not going to go to heaven, it means they're still going to be in the flesh. You with me so far? Us who were a part of the rapture are now in the new body, the new spiritual body. I mean, we're all about in a bag of chips. But not all of them that are still in the flesh. So we get to sort of overlook the entire earth. But now if they're still in the flesh, it's going to be a good time for them because Jesus is going to be in charge. But if they're still in the flesh, what's going to happen? Let me take you just a little bit deeper. Then they're still going to be able to reproduce. And during that 1,000 years, they're going to have children. And that children are going to grow up in this world. And you think that this would be a world that would be so wonderful, so magnificent, that these people would want nothing, and they will want nothing. But here is what happens, in my opinion, and this is going to get me to the next question in a little bit. They're going to take it for granted. Have you ever had it so good or seen people had it so good that they take it for granted? You know, they were born rich. They got money. They got cars. They got boats. They got big houses. They don't have to work. And they take it for granted. They don't know no better. They don't know what it is to have to work or to understand what the paycheck goes for. They don't pay no bills. They don't care. They're rats. And what's going to happen during this time is some of these kids are literally going to sort of become rats because they're going to have it great. Now, at the end of this 1,000 years, so people are going to live a lot longer during this time because Jesus is going to wipe the diseases and all that, so people are going to live a lot longer. Now, keep in mind, they're still in the flesh. Because I've been asked this question, no telling how many times. Why is Satan let loose one more time? You know that's in Scripture, don't you? I'm getting ready to show it to you. At the end of this 1,000 years, God has had Satan tied up, basically. He's going to let him loose one more time. Why? Because remember, there were some children that were born during this 1,000-year reign. And some of them may end up being brats because they don't know better. How's God going to find out? Are these people in the flesh, if they truly belong to him? Because he's going to let Satan go one more time. Next question. Here we go. Question number two. Right here. What happens when the millennium period is over at the end of this 1,000 years? Now remember, all of us who are part of the rapture of the church, we're all in our heavenly bodies. We're just having a good time. We're probably in supervision and we're doing this and, you know, we can snap our fingers and go from one end of the world to the other because we're in a spiritual body. We're not tied to the flesh no more. So it's going to be a good time for all of us who accepted Jesus on this side of Armageddon. But to those who survived and are in the flesh, it's still going to be a good time. But what we're going to do is what I call these brats who are spoiled rotten at the end of it. Are some of them actually going to turn against God? Have you ever seen a brat turn against his parents? Oh, now I'm getting close to home, aren't I? All right, Aaron, here we go. Again, John's writing in the book of Revelation. He says, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the keys to the abyss and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon and the old serpent, which is the devil, the Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. We know all that. Satan will be loosed. I mean, he will be tied up for 1,000 years. He will have no presence during that 1,000 years until 1,000 years is up. Now let's see what happens. All right, Mary. And cast him into the abyss and shut it and seal it over him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be finished. After this, he must be loosed for a little time." That is what I've been asked many times. What does that? Why in the world Would God tie up Satan for 1,000 years and then all of a sudden untie him? Because remember, during that 1,000-year period of time, there's still some people in the flesh. It's a good time here. We got to find out, as I call them the brats, are they really for God or they're not? And you're not going to know until they're what?
Tested.
All right, here we go. Now, after this period is up, and he's loose for a little while, the Bible talks like, believe this or not, that there's going to be millions that are going to turn against God. Living in this spoiled time is still going to turn against God. Now, at the end of this, we're going to see what happens to Satan and those who decided to follow him. Because you can just hear Satan when he comes back. Oh, you think you got it? Oh, yeah, you look around, you think you got it made. You know, God don't love you, he don't care about you. Oh, yeah, you don't have to work, and you don't, you know, whatever. No matter what. He don't like you. You need to come to my side. And believe it or not, there's going to be some rats that's going to believe that nonsense. Because he's going to be loosed one more time. And then at this point, they're going to be destroyed. And then we have what's called the Great White Throne. And that's what I'm going to talk about next. I want to look at it. And I saw a great white throne. And him that sat upon it, and whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. Two books. One is, here's how you lived your life. And here's the book that your name was not in. We call it the Book of Life. Two books. Now this is for everybody from the beginning of history that has ever turned their back on God or has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is going to stand before a living God. You and I don't have to go through this. We're going to sit back and just sort of watch. See, we're already in our new heavenly home, our new heavenly body. We're just ready. But this is called the Great White Throne because this is the final judgment. And this is the announcement that they're not going to want to hear. Because the announcement is, depart from me. I never knew you. Larry, let's go to the next verse. Is that all the verses?
That's it.
Okay. Understand this. When this happens, these people are going to be bound to hell for eternity. And here's what gets me. Some of the people that's going to be sent to hell are people who were actually born in this wonderful time of this millennium period. And yet it goes to show you that no matter how good somebody has it, they're still going to turn against God. You see this? No matter how good, no matter all their wants met, all of their needs met, and they still turn against God. It's amazing to me. But here's one thing that we got to take from this. Here's this. Either you're for God or you're against God. It really comes down to that period. Either you're in church or you're out of church. Either you're saved or you're lost. Either you're living for God or you're not. Because here's what I really truly believe. There's going to be a lot of people standing at this great white throne that did not expect to be standing before God in this audience. As they thought, they said the words one time or another, Jesus, come into my heart. And I say this all the time, but it's gospel truth. You can say, I know Jesus all day long, and you're going to stand at this great white throne and be destroyed. Because Satan knows Jesus. He knows him by name. So you can know the name. You can say you know him. folks, it comes down to the simple fact. Are you living for Him? Is He Lord of your life? There's a big difference in knowing the name and the name being inside of me. Big difference. Believe me, we're taught in this world today, if you can just say Jesus and you're okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. You can say Jesus all day long. Don't mean nothing. It's do you live Jesus? Do you live it? Do you understand it? Do you understand the whole concept about what Jesus is all about? Because Jesus came to this world as a baby and died as a man. Went through one of the most cruel deaths on this planet because He loved you. Because He became a sacrifice. On that cross, He became a sacrifice that when you accept that cross and you accept Him and you believe in that cross and you believe in Him, He paid the price so that you can have and can hear and have a home in heaven and can hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because you believed in that blind. This wonderful blind man who sung that song. He's standing before God. And the song basically said, mercy showed up. You know how come mercy showed up? It's because mercy was invited. See, there's no reason for me to come to your home unless you invite me. But if I invite you, come. Jesus says, I'm inviting you to my home. That's giving you mercy. You decide whether you take it or not. Because I can give you a present all day long and you have to take it. You can throw it back at me. Or then you can open it up and say, man, you should have spent more money. You know, there are a lot of people who get a gift handed to them and are not, no more appreciative of it than a man or woman. You have to understand, folks, this man laid his life down for you and for me. And we got a church full of people that don't understand that. Because we've got a lot more people on the road that are coming. I just simply believe this. As we live in these last days, I'm going to close with this. People better get serious about what you believe, who you are, what you're about. Because the time's coming down if you take a stand. And you can stay home if you want to. Or you can take a stand if you want to. But when you take that last breath, don't be surprised. Which audience you're going to be standing in front of? Are you going to be standing in front of a merciful God? Or are you going to be standing in front of a judgment God? They're both going to be there. But I promise you, within the last breath within me, you want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come home, then depart from me. I never knew you. And the choice is yours. What it's all about. The choice is your children, your brothers, your sisters, your family, your friends. We're living in the last day. Understand that and know that. But God's amazing grace is still here. As long as His Spirit is here, His grace is in this place. And the reason it's amazing is it doesn't matter what you've done. There are a lot of people that's in prison for some awful things that are going to be in heaven because they invited Jesus into their heart. And yet there are going to be some people who've got more money than they know what to do with. They've never harmed nobody. They've worked hard, or they've got money, or they've done whatever. They're nice people. But see, Satan lives off of that because he's going to tell these people, oh, you know, you're so nice and you've done so well, you don't need to worry about God. There are going to be some nice people that's going to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Because if being nice gets you into heaven, we didn't need a cross. We didn't need the blood. We didn't need the death of Jesus. Niceness doesn't get you there, although I think as a Christian person, we are be as nice as we can. But that don't get you there. The only thing that gets you there is a man called Jesus Christ and your belief in Him. And if you believe in Him, that is your door to heaven. And that is your door to this millennial period. Believe me,
it's a good time coming our way. We may suffer now for a while, but the time's coming where there will be no more suffering among God's people. Give God a hand of applause. Father, what a privilege to be in your house. Father, it is my prayer that I'm standing in front of a group of people who understand. Father, Jesus is coming, and he's coming fast. We need to be ready. We got some family members that are not here. And I don't know why, but Father, they need to be ready. We need to understand God's people need to be in God's house. Father, may your spirit abound. May we understand how much we need you this hour. Father, if there be one here that's lost this morning, may they understand the very most important thing in life is knowing Jesus Christ. That you've accepted him as your Lord and as your Savior. And if not, we're going to invite you to come. Let me take you by the hand. Let me ask you a few questions. Let me have a word of prayer with you. And let me welcome you to the kingdom of God. Maybe you are a Christian, but you haven't been living for the Lord. You know that. You need a quiet time at this altar. No one's going to bother you if you come and you get everything right with the Lord. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. We'd love to have you here. We're just a little church, but we're a friendly church. And we will love you the best we know. But most of all, don't leave this place lost. You need Jesus today. In that most precious and holy name, we pray. Is every head is bowed?